This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Federal Justice Department says North Carolina's House Bill 2 is illegal. The Justice Department sent a letter to Governor Pat McCrory yesterday saying HB 2 violates Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act. A separate letter to the UNC system says enforcement of HB 2 also violates Title 9. Those legal violations mean North Carolina could lose billions of dollars in federal education funds. The Justice Department has given the state until Monday to respond. WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery has been following developments and joins me now from the legislature in Raleigh. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with this letter that DOJ sent to Governor McCrory and legislative leaders. What does it say?
Title VII is the provision that comes up most often in this letter that the Department of Justice says North Carolina is violating with this controversial House Bill 2. Now, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act from 1964 says that employment discrimination is prohibited based on sex, race, color, national origin, even religion. Those are protected. You cannot discriminate along those lines. So this letter talks about Title VII violations several different times. It also talks about Title IX violations. Title IX is ostensibly a law that seeks equal funding and equality across gender lines in education. So this letter is essentially saying that implementation of House Bill 2, compliance with House Bill 2, is illegal and could result in something further. Now, whether that's the loss of funds or a federal lawsuit, it's not clear. Time will tell. But this is a stern letter from DOJ.
And HB 2, we should remind everybody, is that bill, that law now that nullifies an anti-discrimination ordinance passed in Charlotte. So that's what's at stake here. And it has a number of provisions that prohibit other cities from doing the same. So there could be a lawsuit. There might be the loss of billions of dollars in education fund, Title VII, Title IX, when it comes to the UNC system. And I understand there's just been a reaction and a response from the Republican leadership in the State House. What are they saying?
Well, we spoke to Speaker Moore yesterday, literally moments after he found out. He called this a gross overreaction, a gross misstep by a radical Obama administration. What Speaker Moore just said a few moments ago to colleague Jorge Valencia is that, quote, we will take no action by Monday. That deadline will come and go. That's a close quote. And that was the deadline that DOJ had set for this body to alter or change House Bill 2. Not a real surprise that legislators aren't going to revisit that, but that is the harshest tone, or the strongest tone, perhaps is a better way to put it, that we've heard as of yet.
And Governor McCrory spoke about the DOJ's letter yesterday. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Well, this is no longer just a North Carolina issue, because this conclusion by the Department of Justice impacts every state, every university, and almost every employer in the United States of America. And what it's basically saying is that all of those organizations and states are going to have to comply with a new definition of requirements by the federal government regarding restroom, locker room, and shower facilities in both the private and public sector, something we've never seen regarding Washington overreach in my lifetime.
Governor McCrory responding to the Justice Department's notice that HB 2 is a violation of federal law. Now, he said he's never seen this before and made it sound like this is the first and that this will set a precedent. But in fact, the letter that he received from DOJ sets out no fewer than seven legal precedents that have already been set. So in other words, the suggestion that this is the first time this has been taken on is not accurate. Seven precedents in this letter. Am I right about that? You saw the letter too, Jeff?
Right. Letters like this have been filed before. Similar letters. Obviously, the issue of bathroom access and LGBT rights is newer, right? I mean, that doesn't go back to 1964. There haven't been as many contested cases. But on the whole, there have been similar challenges. And a letter like this, I spoke with an attorney today and another one last night. They both said that letters like this are, you know, intended to offer a warning, offer a chance for governments, be those state or local municipalities, to reverse course or significantly alter something if the federal government says, hey, this is not in line with federal standards. We're giving you a period of time. We're giving you a window here to make an adjustment. And in the past, in some of those previous examples that you cited, there has been a change or a reversing of course or an altering of course to you can call it appeasing the federal government or falling into line with federal statutes so that if this were to progress, perhaps that could be a precedent setter. But at this point, no, this isn't brand new, as the governor asserted yesterday.
Yeah, no, there are seven cases here, a U.S. Supreme Court case governing a similar kind of a case, five federal court cases involving gender, transgender cases, including bathrooms, and then there was an equal employment opportunity case cited in the letter. The EEOC ruling recently addressed the very issue. The quote here is, equal access to restrooms is a significant basic condition of employment. Denying transgender individuals access to a restroom consistent with gender identity discriminates on the basis of sex in violation of Title IX. That's a ruling by EEOC. So there are precedents. And as you say, you've talked to attorneys about whether or not, you know, what precedent this sets. In other words, the kind of preemptive nature of the letter itself. And let's hear what Carl Tobias, a law professor at the University of Richmond, told you.
When it's after the fact, then it's, you know, in some ways harder. And some of the damage is done, right, if there's been discrimination. So there may be some advantage in working on the front end. And I think it's more than a warning. It may even be like a threat, asking for, you know, very quick response and saying if you enforce the legislation, then we would consider you in violation and then move forward from there.
A lot of money is involved. As you said, the Republican leadership said they're going to let this deadline come and go. Margaret Spellings, the chancellor of the or the president of the UNC system, has said that she is taking this seriously. Tell us about her reaction to this.
So she's in an interesting position, not to sound insensitive, but there are powers on both sides, right? So this letter that came down from the Justice Department yesterday says that compliance with HB 2 is in violation of the Civil Rights Act, is in violation of federal statute, meaning that, you know, if the UNC system were to implement or police, and how in the world you would police HB 2 is a completely different issue, but that could be in violation of federal statute. At the same time, you know, Margaret Spellings has heard from Republican leadership and the governor in terms of needing to adhere to House Bill 2 because that's a state law. So part of the quote, part of the statement that she released yesterday is, you know, saying that, you know, this is a determination that they're taking seriously. And, you know, she will be conferring with the governor's office and legislative leaders and council about the next steps moving forward. You know, she's towing the line, as I think she has to do in this instance.
But and meanwhile, the state may be gearing up for another costly legal battle in a case that has been decided many, many times in the federal courts and other jurisdictions, right?
Yeah, millions of dollars have already been spent challenging laws that the General Assembly has passed in recent years. This is going to be likely another expensive legal challenge. Of course, we've spoken about it previously here. There was a challenge in Virginia. A transgender high school student sued for bathroom access, has to an extent received bathroom access based on a decision out of the Fourth Circuit. And that case, you know, has wide reach. And we're going to see, I think, some of the effects of the grim Gloucester County case in Virginia continue to play out in North Carolina later this month, in the coming weeks.
All right, Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Jeff DeBerry is the Capitol Bureau Chief for WUNC. Well, Republican leaders in the legislature say they're going to let this deadline come and go with regard to HB 2 and its violation of the Civil Rights Act. In western North Carolina, the notice has gotten mixed reactions from lawmakers who represent that part of the state. Frank Taylor's been following reaction. He's the managing editor for the Carolina Public Press and joins us from WCQS in Asheville. Welcome back, Frank.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about the delegation in Western North Carolina and how they've responded to the DOJ's letter.
Well, there's a division, of course, depending on who you're talking to and party affiliation. The Democrats seem fairly united, and as they have been, in deploring this measure. And point to the Justice Department's step as perhaps necessary but unfortunate. and warn that this is going to be a costly legal battle. This is going to be costly in terms of education dollars if the feds follow through on their warning. And it was noted by Senator Terry Van Dyne, as she talked with us yesterday, that this issue of the feds particularly or potentially taking this step came up during the special session, and it was brushed off during the debates. We see now that that has come to fruition. On the other hand, one of the Republicans we talked to, Representative Chris Whitmire out of Transylvania County, was one of the co-sponsors of this bill. His reaction was simply to point to Speaker Moore's statement yesterday, which I would characterize as noncommittal defiance at that point, saying, this is horrible, the administration is being extreme and radical and overstepping, and we're going to review our options, not really committing anything. We see now that that's moved on to calling the feds bluff. Will the feds actually follow through with this threat to withhold education funding if that May 9th date is not met? The other interesting response we had was from one Republican legislator, Representative Chuck McGrady out of Henderson County. He's very interesting in that he was one of three House members, Republican House members, who was absent during the vote. And his statement was to the effect that he was very disappointed by several sides in this whole thing. He believes that the city of Charlotte could have avoided the standoff over the issue, avoided some of the acrimony by taking a different tack in the ordinance that they passed that began this process. But he was really disappointed in his own party. He believes that they've really blown up in this issue unnecessarily and brought contempt to the state. And now we see the reaction from the federal government,
Frank,
furthering that process.
We're going to take a break right now. I want to keep you with us because I want to talk about some legislation that would limit state regulators' ability to warn us about clean water. We'll do that on the State of Things right after this. Stay tuned.